RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engines!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host,
let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:04 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always. Busy race day for those of you that want to sit on the couch and watch some racing today. Couple big events to take in, including one you'll hear right here on WGR later today, as we've got kind of a nice doubleheader this afternoon. You've got the early half of the doubleheader coming up at about 12:30. You can catch the IndyCar Series season opener as they are going to tackle the streets of St. Petersburg, Florida, kick off their 2018 season. And then later on today, you'll hear it live here on WGR coming up at 2:30. NASCAR is out west. Race 2 of 3 for the West Coast Road Trip for NASCAR. They are at the now named ISM Raceway, which used to be Phoenix International Raceway, but now it's ISM Raceway because track title sponsors just sound horrible. It's the Ticket Guardian 500 for the NASCAR Cup Series coming up. Pre-race coverage will be right here on WGR, courtesy of the Motor Racing Network, at 2:30. Green flag just after 3:30 this afternoon. So a nice doubleheader of racing action for you today on this not-too-bad Sunday here in Western New York. And we're going to talk about both of those races on today's program. First off, though, phone lines are open, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. For those of you that want to talk about either IndyCar, NASCAR, anything else going on in the world of motorsports, which one are you more excited for today? What are you looking forward to in either race? Feel free to bring it here this morning. You can also tweet us at FastTrack550 and Facebook.com/WGR Fast Track. We're going to start off talking about IndyCar, and we're going to do that in a little more detail in about 9 minutes or so when Brant James, veteran motorsports journalist that does some work for IndyCar.com these days, Brant will join us at 11:15 to talk IndyCar. He is in St. Petersburg for today's race. And then coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll switch gears over to NASCAR as they will take the green flag just after 3:30, and we'll talk to Alan Cavana of Fox Sports and FS1, works on Race Hub and their coverage of the Truck Series, and also does some work with their Cup coverage, but not, I don't believe he's in Phoenix this weekend, but we'll talk to Alan at the bottom of the hour. And also, we'll see how he's feeling as a Syracuse fan this morning, as if he's chewing his fingernails, hoping the Orange make the NCAA tournament, and he's also a Bills fan, so we'll probably toss a Bills question at him, too. But phone line's open here right off the bat, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. You've got both IndyCar and NASCAR on the table. Before we switch fully into IndyCar here in this opening segment, do want to mention the big NASCAR story of the week, and that was Kevin Harvick, who, after his dominating win at Las Vegas last week for his second straight win, his team was leveled a pretty hefty penalty by NASCAR for a couple of rules violations, one more notable than the other. The first violation was for the bracket that held up the windshield on the number 4 car. That had failed at some point during the race, and it was noticeable by some people watching the race and some of the competitors at the track during the race that the rear window on Harvick's car was kind of indented and maybe helping out the aerodynamics of the 4 car and maybe leading to part of his dominant performance on Sunday. So he got dinged for that, for the bracket failing, and then they also got dinged for one of the panels on the lower part of the car that weren't made of the proper material. They're supposed to be constructed out of aluminum, and they weren't. They also got caught for that. Both of those infractions were discovered after they took the car to the R&D center in Charlotte after the race on Sunday, so they didn't discover that till Tuesday, and Wednesday is when the penalty came out. So for Harvick, it's a big penalty, but maybe not as bad as it could have been. Basically, the penalty handed down to him is what used to be called an encumbered win, but NASCAR has shied away from using that term after it had come up so much over the last couple seasons. But basically, Harvick did lose all of his playoff points from the win last week. He lost 20 driver points. His car chief is suspended. The crew chief, Rodney Childers, was fined. So really, though, it doesn't do a lot of damage to Harvick. It doesn't take him out of the playoffs. He still has the win in Atlanta to fall back on, but he can't use that win at Vegas, the playoff points, and he can't use that for any potential tiebreakers for seeding for the playoffs later on this season. So it doesn't derail his season as much as it did Joey Logano last year when his team was penalized for their one win at Richmond and never could overcome it and never get another win to lock him to the playoffs. So Harvick's already got that other win in his pocket, so he's good. He's still going to qualify for the playoffs on his Atlanta win, but those 7 playoff points he picked up maybe might hurt him down the road. So that's the big story of the week in NASCAR. We'll talk more about that with Alan Cavana at the bottom of the hour. But IndyCar kicking off their season. We talked a little about this on last week's show, and a lot of optimism surrounding IndyCar going into this season. The brand new looking car with a new body, a new aero kit for the Indy cars. No longer are the Chevrolet powered cars and the Honda cars. They don't get their own body work aero kits that we've seen for the last couple of seasons. It's now one mandated aero kit, regardless of which engine you have underneath the hood of the Indy cars. Yes, I know they don't really have hoods, but so all the cars will look the same, which is fine because it's a much improved look aesthetically. I think the cars look a lot better. They look more like a traditional Indy car that we might have seen, I don't know, maybe 20, 25 years or so ago. So the cars look better. One of the reasons for eliminating the previous aero kits for this new one was to reduce the amount of debris that they cause in an accident. So there's less additional parts on these cars to pile up in a debris, and also it removes a heck of a lot of downforce on these cars and puts it back into the hands of the drivers a little bit more to handle these cars around not only the road courses and street courses they compete on, but the ovals as well too. So a lot of reduced downforce. Just as an example, some of the numbers coming out of St. Petersburg, about 1,000 pounds of fewer downforce on these cars, which is a lot. So that should make things a lot more interesting. So the cars have an improved look, less aerodynamics. So you've got that going for the sport, but you've also got just a strong paddock. I mean, you've got 24 starters today at St. Petersburg. 22 of those are full-time teams. You got a handful of part-time teams this year that are going to be in and out of the season, but you've got 22 teams, and that's with two of your best teams in the sport reducing their car count for this year. You've got Penske that went from 4 to 2 teams this year. They're going to concentrate just on their two main cars, including Scott Dixon's this year. So you've got that, and then you've got Penske that's gone from 4 to 3 cars as Elio Castroneves is transitioning out of full-time IndyCar competition. He will run the Indianapolis 500, still looking for that fourth win, but he has gone touring car racing for Penske Racing. So you've got Penske down to 3 with defending series champion Joseph Newgarden. You've got the 2016 champ Simon Pagenaud, and you've got former champ Will Power as well too. So you've still got the big 3 over there. Penske just no more Elio stepping away from full-time racing. But with those departures of those 3 teams from Penske and Ganassi, they picked up a handful of new teams and a couple teams that added some rookie drivers as well too. The additions of some new teams this year in the sport, in the Carlin team and the Harding Racing teams, adding new drivers. Carlin running with Max Chilton as one of their drivers, and also I talked to this guy at Watkins Glen last year, and Charlie Kimble, the two of the guys that left Ganassi They are going to drive for Carlin this year. And then Harding Racing has entered the sport, and they've got former Rookie of the Year Gabby Chavez driving for them this season. So great to see two new teams added to the sport. And then you've got a few more new teams that are going part-time. Michael Shank Racing from the sports car world, they've got a part-time ride there in the field today at St. Petersburg as well. So it's great to see a strong paddock and a lot of enthusiasm and optimism going into this season for IndyCar. And you've got sponsorships are pretty good in the sport. Scott Dixon's got a full-time sponsor this year after they struggled to sponsor that Ganassi car last year after the departure of Target. You've got Danica Patrick back in IndyCar for one race. She'll run the Indianapolis 500 driving for Ed Carpenter, and she'll be sponsored by GoDaddy, but she will just run the Indianapolis 500, and it looks like they may even have more than 33 cars attempt to qualify for the Indianapolis 500, which will be phenomenal. It's been, the last couple of seasons, they've just gotten enough cars to fill the starting grid of 33 at the Brickyard, but right now, early indications, there could be we could be up to 35, so bump day will actually mean bump day at the Brickyard come the month of May if those numbers play out. And speaking of, I mentioned it before, the rookies in this sport have certainly shown their strength this weekend. Looking at the starting grid, you've got Robert Wickens on the pole, and you're like, who's Robert Wickens? I know. Robert Wickens is driving for Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports. He is from Canada. He thought he was going to be on the road to an F1 career, but wound up in touring car racing, but he has been hired by Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports. He and James Hinchcliffe are the two team drivers for Schmidt-Peterson, both drivers out of Canada. So Robert Wickens is on the pole, kind of surprised the world during qualifying. Will Power will join him on the front row. Matthias Leist is another rookie. He is driving for AJ Foyt this year. He is Tony Kanaan's teammate, another Brazilian driver. He'll start third. Another rookie, Jordan King, starts fourth. Takuma Sato, who's got a new team this year, he is the reigning Indy 500 champion. He's driving full-time for Rahal Letterman-Lanigan Racing this season after driving for AJ Foyt last year and also for Andretti as well, too, in the past. He is also on the grid starting fifth today. Ryan Hunter Ray starting sixth. Then you got James Hinchcliffe, Gabby Chavez, Scott Dixon, and Tony Kanaan rounding out your top 10 starters for today's race at St. Petersburg. And with that, we're going to head to Florida and bring in on the hotline one of our favorites here on the program, veteran motorsports journalist, now doing some work for IndyCar.com. Brant James is on the line. Brant, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning. Great to talk to you again, my friend.
Yeah, Dave, how are you? It's turning into a nice afternoon here. There's been some worries about rain, but we're starting to get a spring afternoon in Florida. It's into the 70s and getting a little sticky, so business as usual, maybe.
A new IndyCar season, obviously, Brandon. We were talking about some of the big storylines going into this year, and really it's just a feel-good start to the season, it seems like, Brant, with just a lot of optimism with new teams and new faces and a new-looking car this year for IndyCar. A lot of positives going into this year.
Yeah, it seems like we come to the beginning of the IndyCar season often, and you hear the dialogue of, there's great optimism, we feel things are going to be great. We have heard it before, sometimes it's easy to be cynical, but coming into this one with the new Universal kit, it's going to change the racing, it's taking downforce off, it's going to make the cars harder to drive, and those extremely confident race car drivers, I think you have to be kind of wired that way to borderline arrogant to think that you're going to be the only one talented enough to drive that really difficult race car and win with it. They've got that in their pocket. Four new teams. That's newsy. Dale Coyne Racing announced, I think, three new sponsors just this week. So there's money coming in. There is optimism. And then you take a seven-driver rookie class. And yesterday in qualifying, three of those guys make the fast six, and the top guy, Robert Wickens, a rookie, 28 years old and former DTM driver, not exactly right out of high school, but wins the pole, and that's newsworthy. Now, granted, it was odd, wet, damp, and then dry conditions, a little quirky, but those guys still did it, so it's certainly given us something to talk about and something to think about with St. Pete as a test case for the season.
With the new aero kit and the lower downforce from the drivers you've talked to this weekend, or maybe just leading up to this season, how big of a difference is it versus this year's car versus last year's car?
Yeah, it's a big difference to drive. The rear likes to swing around. We saw plenty of spins in practices. And granted, as I said, qualifying was a little weird, but it was tough to woe that thing down in turn one and get it to go right as they wanted to in qualifying. It's odd how the drivers have described it. It's not going to necessarily be as physically demanding. They're not going to get beaten up in there,
mm-hmm.
but it's twitchy. They're going to have to work it. They're going to have quick hands, and they're going to have to be a lot of nuance involved with it, and they like it. Now, that said, a lot of, you know, the drivers still think that good teams are still going to be good. Team Penske is going to win a bunch of
mm-hmm.
Not necessarily 10 out of 17, but they're going to contend for championships with the three guys they have there in Newgarden, the defending champion, Pagano, who's won a championship, Power, who's won a championship. Incredible lineup there. Scott Dixon has to be a factor again. Graham Rahal has really come on at this point in his career. But then you've got that group of other mid-teams that win races, the Coins and the Schmidt-Petersons. What are they going to do? Can they, you know, thrust themselves in the championship? It's interesting to me to see if there's some driver who's already been on the grid who's really going to benefit from the feel of this new car,
mm-hmm.
or if these rookies who are coming in with nothing to unlearn, that's sort of an odd, clunky word that we've been hit with a lot this week, maybe these guys are going to come in and they're just going to take to it and they're instant contenders each week. It's going to be interesting.
Brant James joining us to talk about the IndyCar season. You mentioned Graham Rahal, and I had a chance to talk to Graham last year leading up to the Indianapolis 500. He came to Buffalo with the folks from Watkins Glen, and one of the things he talked about last year was he thought not having a full-time teammate held him back a little bit compared to the Penske's and Ganassi's and Andretti's of the world. This year, he's got a full-time teammate in Takuma Sato. Do you think, how much does that help him maybe make that step and be a championship contender this year?
Yeah, I think that helps both of them. I mean, in Sato, you've got a Indy 500 winner. That's its odd, you know, unique beast. But he is a veteran. He's been here a long time. And anytime you can double the amount of information that the drivers can pour out on the table for the engineers and have them apply it to a race car is valuable. It's interesting that you had the Ganassis go from 4 to 2 and the Penske's go from 4 to 3, each for their own individual reasons,
mm-hmm.
Pairing back and thinking those are maybe the sweet spot numbers for them. But yes, absolutely. Having a teammate is a big deal. And I think, you know, a rookie teammate, that's nice too. But if you add a veteran in there, that's not only going to push you, but is, you know, adept at passing along the information, knows what he feels, knows what the differences are, has been everywhere. It can't hurt. And obviously it's going to help.
How about Alexander Rossi? Of course, he and Marco Andretti kind of doing the team swap this year, where Marco's going over to the 98 car, the Brian Herta car, and Rossi will be in the 27. You know, of course, the surprise Indy 500 win, then last year the full season, and everybody knew about him and was in a little bit of in the championship hunt, won at Watkins Glen this year. What do you think about his outlook for 2018?
Yeah, he's an interesting one because, you know, as you said, the Indy 500 win, you know, saved fuel, you know, very unusual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his background had not been in IndyCar, had been over in Europe. Last year, you really had to say that was a pleasant surprise. He remained in the mix there for quite a while. He really did prove to be a quick study.
Mm-hmm.
This third year, this to me is really interesting to see whether, you know, it was just a blip and he was a quick learner, or if he's going to be able to add, you know, more, if he's going to progress and add more to that that base that he established, that baseline of performance and what he was able to learn and what he was able to do interacting with the team. He wants to be here. When he first came over, you know, the question was always, you know, whether this guy wants to be here. Is his eye still on Europe? He seems like he very much likes it here. He seems invigorated, ready to go and in it for the long haul. But yeah, a really interesting guy to see if he becomes one of those individuals who not just sort of competes for race wins, or if he becomes the new guy for the Andretti's that will be there at the end of the season and try to crack that fairly hard little boundary that the Penske's and the Ganassi's that create at Sonoma, and you know, maybe one other team sneaks in.
Brant, one final question, just kind of handicap it for us. Who do you think is the number one contender here to win the championship at the start of the season here? A lot of great candidates, but who's kind of your odds on favorite going into the year, at least to possibly win the title?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to go right immediately back over to the Penske transporter. I'm really fascinated about Newgarden. Obviously, he's a talent. He's a guy that Roger Penske wanted, so he went out and got him. Pagenaud very much wanted to defend that championship last year. A really good season. I mean, his finishes were incredible. I mean, I don't remember the exact number, but he was basically knocking out a top five every weekend, and it still wasn't enough.
I think he had a top two, like five out of the last six races.
Incredible. And, you know, it's not that any race car driver puts on the helmet and doesn't want to win, but I think it was really a big deal to him mentally and personally that he was not able to defend that title, especially against a teammate, because you got to beat those guys in that room first before you take it out on everyone else in the series. So, you know, strange things happen. You never know what's going to, you know, when some knucklehead's going to run into you on the on the race course. But I'm kind of circling Pagenaud as to see if he can knock out one of those incredible springs like he did 2 years ago in winning the championship, and see if he can really put the heat on his teammate.
Very good. Well, us here in Buffalo, we're disappointed. We lose the Dave to the Glen, but we still got Toronto and Mid-Ohio and Pocono aren't far drives either, so still surrounded by plenty of IndyCar dates up here in Western New York. Brant, enjoy the race at St. Petersburg today, and thank you so much for the time. It was great catching up.
Always fun. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Brant James, veteran motorsports journalist, doing some work for IndyCar.com, among other outlets these days. Appreciate his time. One kind of interesting, speaking of Buffalo and IndyCar, the folks at Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports, they do have a nice partnership with New Era this year. New Era does a lot of work with IndyCar drivers, guys like Alexander Rossi and James Hinchcliffe, notably. They do have relationships with several IndyCar drivers and produce hats and merchandise for them. This year, Schmidt-Peterson has an apparel deal with New Era. Not only is New Era going to do hats, but I think the uniforms and shirts and everything, they're doing the full shebang for the folks over at Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports. So they have the New Era logo on both of their cars, including pole sitter Robert Wicken. So if you're looking for a Buffalo tie-in to, I guess, one of the teams, Schmidt-Peterson is maybe someone you want to root for. Plus, they're both Canadian. So that, you know, that's pretty cool. James Hinchcliffe, by the way, from Canada, but lives in Indianapolis now. They opened their first Tim Hortons in Indianapolis, I believe. It was the first one in Indianapolis. The day they opened it, James was actually working this drive-through because as a native Canadian, you know, it's part of his DNA. So when they opened up that Tim Hortons in Indianapolis, James was there. So he's a fun guy, you know, great on social media, great personality. It's come back from that horrible incident in Indianapolis a couple of years ago, nearly lost his life, and hopefully he has a strong year for the folks over at Schmidt-Peterson. I think definitely someone that you can get behind. So, again, there's your Buffalo tie-in if you're looking for some IndyCar drivers to root for the folks over at Schmidt-Peterson Motorsports carrying the New Era banner. Actually, they were in Buffalo not that long ago, kind of designing some of the merchandise and uniforms and hats and everything. My buddy Billy Wright from New Era is always bringing guys to town to do some work, so it's a good tie-in. All right, when we get back, we'll switch gears over to NASCAR. Alan Cavana from Fox Sports is going to join us, talk about the race today at Phoenix. And we can take your phone calls too, 803-0551, 888-550-2550. We get back here on Fast Track on WGR.
Hi, this is Ryan Newman, driver of the Caterpillar Chevrolet. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
11:31 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, Dave Buchanan and WGR's Fast Track. NASCAR out west for the second of three races. Of course, last week at Las Vegas, today at Phoenix, ISM Raceway as it's now called. And then next week, Fontana Auto Club Speedway for the final of the three West Coast road trips. So fun part of the schedule, really gets the season going and you know, shows you what kind of some of the big storylines are for the upcoming season and who's going to be the contenders versus the pretenders. And we're definitely going to we got that a little bit at Las Vegas, and we'll get that today at Phoenix. I don't want to say ISM Raceway. I think it just, you know, good for them. They got title sponsorship from a company that you've never heard of, and I thought we learned our lesson after Lowe's Motor Speedway that it just sounds bad that when racetracks have sponsors as their names. I just think it sounds silly. I'm glad it went back to Charlotte, and it can go back to being Phoenix PIR whenever it wants. It's actually going through some big changes, of course. The track at Phoenix, we'll call it that, I guess. This is the last race on its current configuration with the traditional start-finish line on the front straightaway. When the NASCAR goes back in November, they are going to be finishing up a project, a huge remodeling project over there at Phoenix. Start finish line will now be where kind of turn two currently is on the racetrack today. Turn two, that's going to be the start finish line when they go back in November. And that's part of their big revitalization project over there at Phoenix. They've added on to the grandstands on the turn one and two side of the property. They've expanded those. They're going to finish getting rid of the grandstands that exist on the front stretch. Those will be gone as they continue to expand the grandstands where the start-finish line will be. The infield is going to be totally they're going to finish redoing the infield. I know the media center is getting demolished, a new one's being built. Some other things are getting the garages are being improved over there at Phoenix. So a big change when the series goes back in about 8 months. And it'll be interesting. Look, it'll make the layout at Phoenix was already unique with the dog leg and everything, and that track was always unique. And then they did their first round of improvements to the track, and they kind of widened out that dog leg area. Now you got that big runoff where they can go four or five wide. They did that a couple of years ago. Now with the start finish line at a different spot, that throws some other strategy into the mix. So it should be wild when they go back in November to see how that plays out for the next to last race of the 2018 season there as they before they head to Homestead to crown the champion. I'm looking forward to it. Love going to Phoenix when I've gone out there in the past, and I kind of want to go in November to see what it's like after the new layout. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it should be wild. So today is the first race, as it's known, as ISM Raceway, but also the last race at the track in its current configuration. Martin Truex is on the pole today, and Martin really doesn't have quite the success as he does at some of the other tracks in the circuit, notably the mile and a half tracks. He doesn't have a whole lot of success at Phoenix, but he will be on the pole today. Kyle Larson, on the other hand, has had some great runs there, including a couple runner-up finishes. He'll be on the outside of the front row. The Hendrick cars, the Hendrick team, looks to get their season going. They're in row two. Chase Elliott and Alex Bowman. Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin are in row three. Kyle Busch, Jamie McMurray, Eric Jones, and Kevin Harvick, who also, besides the penalty, is looking to go three in a row, which will be the first time since 2015 that a Cup driver's won three races in a row, if he can pull it off today. And, of course, Harvick has dominated Phoenix in the past. Now, I think the last five races, they've had five different winners there, including Kevin. But Harvick, just a few years ago, was dominating every race there at Phoenix. So we'll see if he can get his third win in a row. He'll start 10th. Byron and Blaney are in row 6. Jimmy Johnson rolls off 17th today. Kurt Busch rolls off 23rd. Brett Keselowski struggled in qualifying. He'll start 25th today. Darrell Wallace will start 27th. That's it for kind of notable names in the field. And with that, let's go to the hotline and bring in, from Fox Sports and Race Hub and their coverage of the Camper World Truck Series, Alan Cavana joins us on the line. Alan, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning. Great to talk to you as always, my friend.
Yes, good to be back on. Good to be back on. I hope Buffalo is nice and, not too snowy for you.
No, it's just sunny and cold, which I'll take it. This is that time of year. Alan, going to school in Syracuse, you probably know this. This is the point of winter where it could be 15 degrees out, but you don't want to wear that winter jacket because you're just sick of having to bundle up and everything, and you'll go out there in just a sweatshirt just to think like it's spring.
Oh, yeah. I remember that very fondly, and I don't miss it, I can tell you that much, but I certainly remember it fondly. It's, strong people up there, strong people to be able to, have T-shirt weather about now.
Are you just pacing around your house in a Syracuse orange sweatshirt just waiting for the bracket to come out today? Is that your plan for the day?
A little bit. I've tried not to get my hopes up. It was a rough season. It was a rough season, but you can't blame anybody but themselves. As a proud Bills fan, as a proud Orange fan, I think a lot of your listeners can understand what I mean. A lot of blame on themselves, and if they just won a few more games, I wouldn't be on the bubble right now with them.
Well, Alan, we've got a race today at Phoenix, and that'll be on Fox later today, and it should be a good one, as this track at Phoenix, known for producing some wild racing. What are your thoughts on the race going into this afternoon?
Well, yeah, it's going to be wide open. It produces a lot of, it's got a weird dog leg. It's not an exact oval, so it allows drivers who want to take chances, especially late in the race, to really fan out and do, you know, quick deep dives, like, if they need to. I still expect Kevin Harvick to be the man to beat today, even though he's not starting as well as you may have thought or may have hoped. But if you look at the practice sheets and all the speed and all the momentum, it's going to be hard to beat Kevin Harvick today. It should be interesting, though, because unlike the last 2 weeks, I think that the field will open up a little more. Last 2 weeks, we saw the Fords really, I mean, come out the gate strong.
And
yeah. Mile and a half tracks, and we saw them do well on the where, you know, the air is, you're more aerodynamic dependent. I think this will be a little bit different. It's a shorter track, and I think more players will come into play.
What did you think about the penalties handed to the Ford team this week for the rear window bracket, and then the what was it? What was the other one? That was a crush panel or something?
Yeah, the new crush panels on the side. That one they pretty much copped to, the Ford team. You know, it should have been steel. It was aluminum. It was a late rule change. They took responsibility for that. I kind of disagreed with Kevin Harvick. They were penalized for something, a broken rule. Well, let's be honest. I mean, the rule says that the roof has to be stiff. The roof was not stiff. I think pictures showed that, and inspection showed that. And he kind of blamed social media for pointing it out and maybe drawing too much attention to it, attention that NASCAR just couldn't turn its eye to. There could be some truth to that, but at the end of the day, I mean, the rule was not followed.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that was intentional or whether that was an accident, I don't think it's NASCAR's job to start judging intent. If something is broken and that broken piece happens to give you likely an advantage, not a full advantage, not the reason you won the race, but if it gives you an advantage, NASCAR can't look the other way and just say, hey, we're sorry. We've seen it in the past. I've seen parts break that have made cars slower, and they still got penalized. It was the least advantageous thing in the world, and they still got penalized for that reason. So I think NASCAR made the right call. I don't think it was, you know, blaming social media in this day and age. I don't think it was the right thing to do, because at the end of the day, your team still had a broken part that gave you an advantage.
And I don't think it's going to really derail their season, kind of like maybe the penalty the 22 team got last year. Obviously, they've got the Atlanta win to fall back on, and they're off to such a strong start that I really think by the end of the day, the four team will have, I guess you could say, overcome this penalty.
Absolutely. And look, they've earned that. When you have that win in the bag, unlike Logano had last year, and you are guaranteed a playoff spot, I applaud the 14 for doing whatever they had to do to push the edge, push the limit, and get as many of the playoff points as possible, because those playoff points are very valuable, as we saw last year. Probably more valuable than a lot of people realize at first.
Mm.
And look, with the 14, I think some could guess that what they were doing last week was pushing the limit. Did it go too far? Did it go a little too far and get a little too noticed? Probably. They didn't want that much notice, you know, look, and eyeballs pointed at them. But they're in a position where they're already locked in the playoffs. Their only job now is to collect extra playoff points, if you will. And they're in a position where they can't be forced out of the playoffs. Therefore, they can push the limit as much as they want, really, and do what they can. If they don't get caught, it's gravy. If they do, there's some controversy, but hey, they're still in the playoff, and they earned it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the position that they're in.
Alan Cavana from Fox Sports joining us here on Fast Track. Of course, lots been said about the struggles for many of the Chevy teams off to the start this year with the new Camaro. But if there's a track to turn it around, this could be a good one. You've got, you know, Larson starting third. You've got Larson starting second. Elliott starting third. And also Alex Bowman up there. But here you got Kyle Larson and Chase Elliott, two guys that have had some good runs at this track in Phoenix. And really, they're a couple of the favorites today, especially Larson, I think.
Absolutely, especially Kevin carrying the Chevy banner. I expected more out of Larson. A lot of people really expected more out of him going into Phoenix, because they had a great test. I mean, going out to Las Vegas last week, because they had such a great test out there. It didn't happen. Now, is that an aero issue? Is that a new car issue? Is that a team issue? We don't know. But just the way the speed charts have shown us this week, the past, I think Larson is certainly a car to be reckoned with today. Chase Elliott as well. So when the first win is going to happen, we keep saying that after 2 years, we'll probably come into track like this. Would I be surprised if it was today? Absolutely not. But again, that means going through Harvick and a guy like Truex.
And along with the Chevy teams, you've got Martin Truex on the pole today. Now, Phoenix isn't one of his better tracks, but he's starting on the pole. Do you think his title defense gets its first win of the season today, possibly, as he rolls off first?
If I'm picking, you know, just sheer winners, Martin Truex Jr. would not be at the top of my list. Top five, yes. I mean, that's the kind of team they've put together. If we're picking sheer winners, I just, I mean, if I was We were in Vegas last week. You had to pick just a winner. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't pick Martin Truex Jr. today. He probably surprised a few people with the poll. But when you look back, people consider him, you know, Mr. Mile and a Half, an intermediate. That's where he dominated last year, got the wins, got the playoff points, ultimately won the championship on those big mile and a half tracks, unlike where we are today. But he also was back, and he was fast everywhere, believe me. Remember Martinsville? He's not known for being a short track racer. He finished second, so I wouldn't put it past him to run very well in Phoenix today, but I'm still going with Harvick. You're not going to make me go away from him.
Alan, let's talk about the Truck Series real quick, because you work on, of course, Fox Sports 1, their great coverage of the Truck Series. Love watching the truck races, and they're off to a great start this year. Already a few races in the book, and now on a little bit of a break till we go to Martinsville. But how about my buddy Stuart Friesen? What a strong start to his year. Had a chance to win at Vegas, you know, that great three-wide move, battling Kyle Busch there to get a stage win. And I just think Stuart is off to a fantastic start and is really coming to his own in the Truck Series.
Absolutely, and it just shows you know that we see the power of alliances and technical alliances and stuff. We see that in the Cup Series. We're starting to see it in the Truck Series as well, and it just goes to show you, I mean, the role that money and equipment play in the sport. I mean, no one ever thought Stuart Friesen was a bad driver by any means. Everybody up there obviously knows that for absolute. But when you get into, you know, this side of the sport and the trucks and stock cars and the budgets get bigger, it can be a struggle with inferior equipment. I hate to use that word, but
sure.
But once they got that technical alliance and that know-how and some of the better equipment with GMS, look what they're doing now. Stuart Friesen showing off his talent. We saw some of it last year, but I think we saw him run very well at Daytona, and now we're seeing him start to compete at tracks like Atlanta, at the bigger tracks, being a player when it comes to the championship talk. He still got to get some wins. He still has to show us he can get checkered flags and all that stuff. But it's nice to have some new names to talk about. And it's not just, oh, man, what a good lucky run. No, he went out there and earned it. Like you said, the stage win. I think looking back on some of the stats and the stage points, you can really tell who's separating themselves. And to have a stage win like that, it shows you who's running well during the race and throughout the race and even at the end. And Stuart Friesen's right there. I would not be surprised if he can get a checkered flag this year.
How about your Fox colleague there, Jeff Gordon, saying he'd like to run the truck race at Martinsville? Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, that'd be amazing. you kind of started a little firestorm there. That all started with a Twitter question on the NASCAR on Fox Twitter handle. But, yeah, he mentioned it. He just said if he was ever going to come back, he'd want to do something like the truck race in Martinsville. And my favorite part was that obviously the fans took off with that on Twitter, but then Ray Everham and said, I'm in as well. Imagine that dream team pairing back one more time in the truck at a place that he just loves. Like, we all know how good Jeff Gordon is at Martinsville. And to put him in a truck and see what his natural abilities can do for some of these young guys, that'd be so cool to see.
Well, we'll be watching the race on Fox today, Alan, but what's coming up this week on Race Hub?
This week on Race Hub is going to be really, really special because, as you know, NASCAR is out west. So all of NASCAR Race Hub is emanating from our L.A. studios, our Fox L.A. studios, for the first time. So it's like NASCAR Race Hub goes on the road. So it's going to be very West Coast-centric in terms of we're visiting some cool spots out in L.A. We're going to have a bunch of regulars that you don't normally see on Race Hub. You know, Shannon Sharp, Jason Whitlock, a bunch of L.A. people are going to kind of invade our show, and we're going to invade their studio and bring a little NASCAR to the West Coast and really, really show the best of what Fox Sports has to offer. It's going to be really neat.
Very good. That's a weekday, 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on over on Fox Sports 1. Alan and all the folks in Race Hub, they do a phenomenal job. Alan, great catching up as always. Appreciate the time, my friend, and we'll hopefully talk again soon.
I can't wait. And, of course, go Bills. I hope we get the franchise coming in 2018 because I think that's what's about to happen.
All right, man. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Alan Cavana, noted SU grad and one of those Bills fans out there in NASCAR land. Appreciate his time. And again, Race Hub weekdays at 6 on Fox Sports 1, and they'll have the race today on TV. We'll have the race on the radio today as well, too, of course. Pre-race coverage starts at 2:30. Green flag just after 3:30 for the Ticket Guardian 500. And our friends at the Motor Racing Network will have the call today. When we get back, we'll wrap up this edition of Fast Track, squeezing some of your phone calls at 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Great doubleheader of racing, IndyCar, NASCAR. I'll be tuned in. Hopefully you'll be too, as we'll talk about that here as we wrap up Fast Track on WGR.
Hi, this is Martin Truex Jr., driver of the number 78 Furniture Row Toyota. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
An easier pole sitter today for the Ticket Guardian 500. You'll hear it right here on WGR coming up at 2:30 this afternoon. And, you know, unless the Bills make a trade or something. That was crazy. It was Friday night, right, Mike?
Yeah.
So I was home, and, you know, I'm on Twitter a lot, I know, but I get away from my phone, is chasing my daughter around the house for like a half an hour, and we finally sit back down. My wife says, Tyrod got traded to Cleveland? What are you talking about? I thought she was talking about the other trade Cleveland had already made that day. And so, like, what do you mean? And I go on Twitter, I'm like, oh my God, they traded Tyrod to Cleveland. So that was, that was nuts. Seven more weeks of quarterback talk, by the way. Seven more weeks of that. The draft is not till late April. So have fun, Joe and Brayton. Sunday mornings before me from 9 to 11. They do a great job. Thanks for the tweets. Got a couple of tweets. Thanks to Kenny for chiming in. He's saying guaranteed that Kevin Harvick will go three in a row. That could happen. This is Kevin Harvick's career stats at Phoenix. 30 starts. He's got 8 wins, 14 top fives, and 19 top tens in 30 starts at Phoenix in the Cup Series. I think he's got a few Xfinity wins, too. His average finish is 9.7. Going back to 2012, his worst finish there is 13th. And since he's gone to Stuart Haas Racing, he hasn't finished worse than 6th. And that was this race a year ago. He finished 6th and finished 5th last November. But yeah, 2012, he finished 2nd in the spring. He won the fall race. 2013, 13th in the spring race, won the fall race. 2014, swept both races. 2015, won the spring race, runner-up in the fall race. 2016, won the spring race, finished 4th in the fall race, and then 6th and 5th last year. So, yeah, it's a pretty good shot, Kenny, that Harvick could get his third straight win and chalk up career win number 9 there at what is now ISM Raceway. Also, thanks for Zach for checking in. He says the new Indy cars are gorgeous, and they do look pretty good. I thought the aero kits got a little gaudy there by the end, a little too much, a little busy there. They've kind of slimmed them down, and now it's more how the Indy cars or even kart, you know, used to look maybe back in the 90s. So it's much improved look, and also it should make for better racing. So I can't wait to tune in at 12:30 and over on ABC and watch the race. And we get to hear Ellen Beswick call a race, which you don't get to hear too much of, as he's still at ESPN, but does a lot more college sports these days, as ESPN has kind of slimmed down their motorsports coverage. But it should be a good one with and street courses are always a great race for just something crazy to happen with the pit strategy and some, you know, out of nowhere, some guy wins that you don't expect. And we've already had a little bit of that kind of unpredictability this weekend with Robert Wickens, the rookie driver out of Canada, winning the pole. So looking forward to that and the race today. Of course, while you're watching both races, be sure to shoot us a tweet at FastTrack550, both Kenny and Zach did this morning. Appreciate it. And thanks to Alan Cavana and Brant James for checking in with us this morning. We'll be back next Sunday with NASCAR at Fontana. The NHRA race back in action next week with the Gator Nationals. And, hey, soon it'll warm up, and soon, you know, the local tracks will get fired up around here as well, too. We're creeping quickly towards that as well. Some dirt tracks in Pennsylvania already getting going. And, you know, once we get past Easter, things will really pick up steam, and we'll be back at the track before you know it. So, again, thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next Sunday here with more Fast Track on WGR.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.